Welcome to the Cool Tools Show. I'm Mark Frauenfelder, Editor-in-Chief of Cool Tools, a website of tool recommendations written by our readers. You can find us at cool-tools.org. I'm joined by my co-host, Kevin Kelly, founder of Cool Tools. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, it's great to be here.
In each episode of the Cool Tools Show, Kevin and I talk to a guest about some of his or her favorite uncommon and uncommonly good tools they think others should know about. Our guest this week is Jennifer Robbins. Jennifer is a designer who's best known for her work in web design. She's written 13 books, including Learning Web Design 5E, that's published by O'Reilly, and she co-founded the Artifact Conference. Currently, she's excited about the relaunch of Cooking with Rock Stars, her pre-YouTube video podcast in which she interviews indie rockers about food. Boy, I'm looking forward to that one too. How's it going, Jennifer?
It's going great. I'm so excited to be here.
We are so excited to have you here. And we are really looking forward to hearing what kinds of things you are interested in these days, including what tools you're using.
Oh my gosh. Picking four was brutal because I've got so many things I have crushes on. So, but the first pick that I have is a little 5-year diary. And it was designed by Tamara Shopsin. And I'm going to say journaling, but what I really do is like logging. I just sort of write down what happened each day, who I talked to. I also usually end up recording what food I cooked because I'm big into cooking. Cool. So I have a log or a journal for almost every year of my life. But this is the first time I've really gotten into a 5-year journal, and I love it. I love this one in particular because it's just a very simply designed. It's very classic. And each page, it's small. It's only like 3.5 by 6.5, maybe 1.25 inches thick. And there's just enough room to write a couple of sentences. So you're really only, there's no like, it's very easy to maintain every single day because there's no big commitment. It's just jot down what happened that day. And I'm 4 years into this book now. So it's really starting to pay off because like when I write down what happened, then I can look back and see like what happened on that day, like 3 years back. And for me, that's really fun.
So to explain the way a 5-year diary works is that every page of the year has 5 entries from the 4 previous years. Is that basically
right? Every page, I'm going to look at it now to describe it. Every page is divided into 5 sections, and each one represents a year. At the top of the page, it has the date, so May 2nd, but it doesn't list the year and it doesn't list the day because that depends on when you start it. And so, you know, I can see what happened on May 2nd this year, but then, you know, the past 3 years as well.
What's the joy that you get from doing it that way?
I don't know. I guess I have a nostalgic streak. So looking back on anniversaries, even things that aren't momentous, I really like seeing like, oh, it was a year ago that my son performed, you know, at this little theater, or, you know, just like little things to be reminded of that. And it was interesting starting it when I started it, my son was only 12, and to realize like, oh my gosh, by the time I finish this book, he's going to be, you know, a senior in high school, you know, or you know, like, who is he going to be? Who am I going to be? Sometimes there's a little bit of foreboding, you know, it's like, you can't go through 5 years of all these pages and all these days, without something rough happening. You know, it's like, you don't know, like, what is the day that is going to be hard? And what are the days that are going to be great? You know, so I don't know. I just love having it all together, especially since I have been doing these little logs of every day for my life.
Does the entry say for this year, is it in any way reacting to or influenced by the entries of the previous 2 years? Or do you kind of like talk to yourself in that way of like, oh my gosh, I was 3 years ago, I was saying this and here's where I think today, or is there a conversation with the past in that way?
There is not, partly because there's only 5 closely set lines and you just don't have a lot of room to converse. It really is kind of just room for a log. For a while, I was trying to keep a little log of what was happening in the world of politics and, you know, out in the world. And then I just gave up on that because it was taking some precious space from tracking me. And there are other places to track that stuff. So I'm just tracking me and my family and activities.
I don't know if you're the same way, but when I look at some of my old notebooks and journals, I'm struck by the fact that I keep having the same ideas again and again.
That's funny, like, Kevin. That happens to me too.
It's like, look at that. It's like, wait a minute. I had that idea 5 years ago and I never did anything. And there it is. I'm thinking this brand new idea, but it actually was exactly what I was thinking happens. 5 years ago.
I have other journals, you know, that are like for the emotions, but this one's really just sort of a log of my life.
Okay.
And I just love this design. You know, so many notebooks and journals out there are just so over-designed. Like, I think if you looked at, you could like track all graphic design styles and trends by looking at like a couple of decades worth of like commercially available journals. They use every just like tacky thing and bad clip art. And this one's so simply designed. It's really a joy to use.
That's cool. And so, I mean, you kind of wrote the book on web design, Learning Web Design, which is in its fifth edition.
That's
right. I'm sure you could easily whip together a 5-year journal that would find the previous years and put them all, but you want to do it the analog way with pencil and paper. Is that a conscious decision?
Yes, I'm really paper oriented. It's sort of ironic that I'm known for web design, but you know, I'm a graphic designer by trade, a book designer in my heart, and still like the tangible and paper is really important to me.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough.
Yeah. We have, it's hard to argue against that for us two being book lovers, and me, I'm right now surrounded by a 2-story library of books on paper.
Mm-hmm.
So you have another cool tool that's also paper oriented.
Cutter.
Well, actually that's in my, that is for sewing. So that is fabric oriented. Also tangible though.
Okay.
I have really gotten into sewing lately. I've always sewn, but just like straight edged things, you know, like curtains or a, you know, comforter cover, just anything with a straight line. But in the last year, I've really gotten into sewing clothing and much more adventurous items. And it's kind of cool to be in my mid-50s, like learning a whole new world of skills and tools and, like trying like more and more challenging patterns. But, you know, I always had, you know, if I was doing a sewing project, just get out my, you know, I had a decent pair of fabric shears and I would, you know, cut the fabric. And then I discovered the Fiskars rotary cutter, and you use it along with a straight edge and with, I have a huge cutting mat. I have actually several cutting mats of all different scales, but it just it's a game changer. It completely altered just changed the way I work. So I'm a fairly precise person. So just the ability to cut patterns really precisely and cut things exactly to precise inches, which is really difficult, you know, it's more of a challenge to do with shears where you're lifting the fabric and it shifts around more. This, you're pressing it down with a straight edge and just running that nice titanium blade along the edge of the straight edge, and you get just perfect results. And it's very pleasing to me. So I've like discovered lots of new sewing tools that just completely, that I didn't know about or just make things so much easier. But the one that I picked the rotary cutters, just because I feel like I had the biggest impact on my process. And that's what a good tool does, I think.
Do you have the self-healing cutting pad?
I do. Oh. Yep. Mm-hmm. I have.
You have to have that, right?
I do. I have one sitting on my desk right now that's about 12 by 18, but I have one against my wall that's 4 feet by 6 feet.
Yeah, they're great. I love those things. I've had one for over 30 years that I use, and it's like, it's still healing itself.
I have a 30-year-old one too that I got, like either in college or just after college. And I love those things. And I always used it with X-Acto knives, but now I have my nice rotary cutter. Keep everything precise.
That sounds really good.
And can you cut, you mentioned you run it along a straight edge, so it can cut straight as well as the curve.
Oh yeah, right? It excels at cutting straight.
Okay.
Yeah, you can just get a like absolutely perfectly straight line and perfect, you know, right angles, and it makes me very happy.
And the way it cuts, I'm looking at a picture right now. So the way I would describe it to somebody is that there's a handle, and then there's a disc that's maybe, you know, like the diameter of a small cup.
It's about 2 inches wide.
2 inches. And it's a thin blade. It's like a pizza cutter in many ways.
It's like a pizza cutter. Yes.
But it unlike a scissors, which is taking two pieces of metal and they're scissoring together, you kind of, this is just cutting more like an X-Acto knife, where there's nothing that it's cutting against other than the mat below it, right? And so it has to be very, very sharp, I would imagine.
That's right. And you do go through a lot of blades because...
because it has replaceable blades.
It has replaceable blades. And I tend to replace them a lot because you need it super sharp. I don't know how it happens, but it'll get like a little nick in the edge, and then you're skipping like one thread every time you go around. But they last a pretty long time, and they're not expensive. So, you know, I have a little stash of blades, titanium blades. And it has a nice little feature where you can, the blade, it has a protector around it that you pull back, and then you can like slide it forward, and it keeps you from touching the blade itself.
Okay. Or having it run over your finger or whatever.
Right. Yeah. So when you're not using it, you can keep it safe.
Sounds good. So tell us about this tool, the Schrader line of precision rules.
I guess we're on, as long as we're on the theme of precision, the Statler precision rules. I have had mine for 30 years. And if a ruler could be sexy, like this one's pretty sexy to me. It's just what it sounds like. It's a super precise ruler, and it's printed on a very thin translucent plastic. I have a set of two of them, and the one I'm looking at now has inches along one edge down to 1/64 of an inch, and it has metric down to half millimeters. And then there's picas down the middle for the first 12, every point is marked. I have another one that has picas along the edge. And because I'm a book designer, I actually still pull out my pica ruler from time to time.
Really? You still use picas?
Wow. I still use picas when I'm designing.
How big is a pica? What is a pica?
There are 6 picas to an inch.
Right. Okay. So it's kind of like not quite like a millimeter. It's like 2 millimeters or something, 2 or 3 millimeters.
Boy, I could translate it right here for you. Yes, it's closer to like 3, maybe 3.5. Yeah, 3.5 millimeters. You know, I don't think I've ever really measured things in 1/64 of an inch. And to be honest, like not many writing implements are as precise. So, you know, if you're trying to like mark something, like your mark would be as wide as 2 of those.
Yeah.
So like, I don't even think that I'm actually using the precision nature of it. But it's just so cool that it's there, and it's there if you need it. I also just like that it's very lightweight and slightly translucent. And it's just been with me. It's been with me for so long.
Sure. And it's not something that you want to run your X-Acto knife against to cut something.
No.
So it's
a fancy ruler.
So one of the things about rulers that I'm wondering, I'm trying to look at this, there seem to be two kinds of rulers. There's rulers who start counting at their edge, at their front edge. And then there's rulers that sort of indent in a little before they start counting because they don't want to have a nick on the end disrupt the counting, I guess. I'm not sure. This looks like one where it's indented.
It's indented a lot. Yeah. So it goes from 0 to 12, and there's a good margin of maybe an inch on each end. Yeah.
And you don't find that troublesome?
No, I think it's okay. Better. I mean, for the kinds of things that I would be measuring, which, you know, are in a graphic design world or a crafting world, or again, tangibles, like in a lot of the stuff I do, I'm measuring in resolution and pixels, you know. But for the real world, I have my 30-year-old Statler precision rules.
Okay. All righty. And again, there are a lot of different precise rulers, and you like this one partly because it's transparent and it's lightweight, you say. And how does the plastic hold up over time compared to, say, a metal one?
I was just about to mention that. It's a very lightweight plastic, but it's stood for, you know, decades. Mine looks almost as good as the day I got it. And again, I'm not cutting next to it or anything like that. I think it would be vulnerable to that. But no, it doesn't. I haven't gotten any wrinkles or bends in it. It's good to go.
Cool. Okay, so you have one more tool to talk about, and it is the Moped Crossbody Bag by Lug. Tell us about that.
You know, this is the last one I picked, and there were so many others that I was like weighing between. But I ended up going with this one because it was just so personal. I've been carrying this style of bag as my everyday purse or my everyday bag for over 10 years, so much so that it's just sort of become a part of my body. And it's like one of those tools that, like, I don't even think of it as a tool because it's just so natural to me now. So I decided to go with this because it was so personal to me. It's a great, like, everyday bag. It comes in lots of colors. I like just a plain, you know, heather gray one. But it's the perfect size. It's not too big. It's not too small. Critically, it's perfect size to put my iPad in. So it has a one pocket that my iPad fits in perfectly. It's big enough that you could put a light sweater in it, but it's so not so. It doesn't look like a big bag. It looks like pretty svelte, and but it holds an amazing amount of stuff. I also really like it because of all the different pockets. I love organization tools, and this one just has the perfect pockets for everything I need. So can I tell you about some of my favorite pockets?
Yes.
I'm really into this bag. So it's got a large back pocket that my iPad slips in perfectly. It's also like big enough to fit a piece of 8.5 by 11 paper, like folded over once. So that's very handy. There's an inside pocket right up at the top where my wallet or keys can go, you know, that's super handy. I know right where it is. It zips closed. So if the bag falls over, like, everything's sealed. There's another bag in the front where you don't have to actually open the bag. It's on the outside that is just the perfect size for an iPhone. And it also zips. So it's secure, you know, it's not going to just fall out. There are many other pockets I'm not going into right now, but these are my favorites. But I think the coolest pocket is on the side. There's an expanding pocket that is great to throw in your sunglasses, or it's big enough to hold a water bottle or like an umbrella, like a closed compact umbrella. So you just have this little like side pocket that, like, if you're out for the day, it carries just exactly what you need. And, you know, it's not fancy. Like, I have, you know, fancier evening purses, but I'm not like a purse person, mm-hmm. who, like, you know, people pay a lot of money for purses. I'm shocked. Like, this one's very affordable. And,
$70. What color do you have?
I have the heather gray. They have a lot of patterns that I'm not a big fan of. And to be honest, the whole Lug line isn't quite to my aesthetics. Like, it does, you know, I'm not a big fan of everything they make. I think it's more about utility than fashion. But this one, it's the workhorse bag. And I like the strap is comfortable. It's super adjustable. So you can, like, you know, pull it up tight or like make it nice, you know, put it down by your hip.
Have you ever forgotten it in a place, like at a cafe or something? I have a bag this size, and I have lost it a bunch of times and then have to run back and get it.
I have done that. Yeah, I've definitely done that, because a lot of times you just throw a purse over the back of the chair.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's easy just to get up from that chair and walk away. Yeah, I've gone back to cafes with my heart racing, for sure.
Yeah, I guess you could get one of those tile devices that has a Bluetooth, and when you separate too far from it, your phone starts to beep.
Well, my phone's in it.
Yeah, there you go.
Because, you know, that's the thing. We don't, we right. ladies don't have pockets, so the right. phone is in the bag. Yes.
So you mentioned the iPad. So is that your primary creation tool these days?
No, it's a consumption tool.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't really, can't think of anything I generate other than emails.
On the iPad.
On the iPad.
You don't do it for drawing or design or anything like that?
I've tried. I don't know. Like, nothing beats paper for me, you know? I use it in work to, like, check, you know, website designs. You know, you have to check everything on iPad and phones. But, yeah, I don't really use it to generate. I know some, I have, you know, friends who are artists who love working with a stylist and, you know, designing digitally. Uh-huh. And I haven't done that.
Have you tried things like Figma on a computer?
I have tested Figma, but I haven't had an application for it, so I didn't stick with it.
Mm-hmm. What are you spending most of your time? What's the software package or the software thing that you spend most of your time in terms of design?
You know, I'm still with the Adobe products.
Okay.
I growl a little when I get the monthly bill. Uh-huh. I don't like that model at all, but I mean, I understand it, but
we're all stuck with it.
Yeah. We're stuck with it. Like for the rest of my life, the rest of my designing, you know, life, I'm stuck with it, but it really irks me. But, you know, it does mean that I have like all of them, but I spend a lot of time in Illustrator, Photoshop, InDesign, because I used InDesign a lot for book design. I actually designed and produced Learning Web Design, the last edition. So that was super fun. I was
so you
heaven.
Designed it yourself, is what you're saying. You
I designed it. Yeah, I designed the interior design. Edie Friedman did the cover, and I did the interior design. And then I lovingly handcrafted all 800 pages.
Wow. My God.
And that's I was insane. In heaven. I was so happy. Like, I was like in the zone, you know. I was just, you know, when you're having fun, because like you sit down and like you look up and it's 6 hours later and you haven't eaten. Like, that's how I was laying out my book. I love book work. I hope to do more book work.
Yeah. I just,
although it's a dying, you know, it's fading away, but I would love to do more book work.
I finished a 970 page photo book in InDesign. That had 9,000 images in it.
Wow.
And, yes, I know that feeling of looking up and realizing that 5 hours has just passed and you didn't get very far, or at least I didn't get very far. well, that's, yeah. So we want to hear a little bit more about what you are working on now. What's your newest thing?
Well, like so many people right now, I'm sort of in pause mode. I'm between editions of Learning Web Design. Starting to think about the sixth edition, because it's used as a textbook all over the world, and I think it's definitely worth doing another one. And you need to keep textbooks fresh, you know, for adoption.
And the web isn't going anywhere. The web's going to be around.
I think it is. Yep. And people are eager to learn. So, and I teach web design in just a very conversational, easy, laid back way that people seem to like. So yeah, I think I'll probably end up doing another edition of the book, but not right away. And
do you also give like workshops or do live teaching, or do you mostly just teach through books?
Mostly through books. I have done a little teaching in the past. I'm open to doing some in the future. You know, I don't feel like I'd be comfortable doing an online like video thing, but you know, I should just try it and then I'll know. Maybe it would be fine. Maybe I wouldn't mind it at all.
Yeah. Well, I think you'd be great. Just your knowledge, your personality. You know, I think we're still at the beginning of this YouTube learning world. And I'm speaking for myself, maybe nobody else, but I'm going less and less and less to books and more directly to YouTube to learn anything.
Absolutely. So, it's fascinating. Yeah, that's where I'm learning all my sewing techniques.
Well, there you go. Oh, yeah. And so you really should be on YouTube doing web design.
I will consider that. Yeah, you know, I was thinking about just doing really short, like very concise, like,
yeah,
you know, not like here's all of CSS, but like, here's how you do this one thing, yeah. You know, like, yeah, 2 minutes yeah. tops.
Right.
But in what is on YouTube, I'm kind of excited about this. Years ago, starting in 2002, I started doing video interviews with indie rock stars about food. It was called Cooking with Rock Stars. And I had the site up from maybe 2002 to 2008. Then the site went offline, and I just never came around to like getting it started again. There was always something else to do, and that was always lower priority. But recently I was talking with Jeffrey Zeldman, who works at Automattic, and he gave me the assistance of a team at WordPress who built it for me, and we revived it. So it's back online. So I'm able to re-release all of the old videos. I have a whole bunch of that were in the can that were never released. So I'll do some of those. They're old, but they're, you know, newly released. And I might, after, you know, you can actually do things like visit people again, might do a few new interviews coming up. So I'm kind of excited about that.
Wait.
Yeah, it was, you know, when I first started, it was before YouTube. So I was hosting all the video myself. I had to post the videos at 240 by 180 pixels so that I could keep the file size was like 3 megabytes. They were teeny tiny, you know, but you know, web pages were only 500 pixels wide then, you know, so it wasn't, that small in the like, in context. And, but it's really funny to look back. So it's a new site. I have posted the old material, but then I put some new commentary on it. You know, there were some artists who their album wasn't even out yet when I talked to them, and they, you know, are huge. So, their careers have really blossomed. So it's really interesting to go back I'm just so happy and so thankful to Jeffrey for giving me the opportunity to get it back online. Cause it's one of my favorite projects ever. And just the fact that it was just erased from the internet for a while was not great. Yeah. So it's just fun.
When you repost them, are you able to go back and post them in higher res? Can you go back to the original material and then post them at a higher res now?
Slightly. I think they were recorded at 640 by 480 because digital video then that was the standard. So it's been a nightmare. It's been a nightmare going back and trying to like go through all the old hard drives. And I did a lot of the early editing in Final Cut Pro, but it's in it was like version 1 or something. You can't even open those files anymore. So I am just re-releasing them just as they were. The highest resolution I can find, which is for the very early one, 640 by 480, but then I think it goes up to 720.
All right. Well, that's a fantastic project. And where can people find this? What's with Rockstars? Is that what it's called?
cookingwithrockstars.com. Yeah, it's a little combination of my love of cooking and my love of music.
That sounds good. And people can find out about your book by just going to learningwebdesign.com, and there's information there about it and how to get it.
Yes.
Great.
Cool. That sounds great. Jennifer, thank you so much. This has been a real pleasure.
Well, thank you.
Hey, everybody. It's your co-host, Mark, and I wanted to let you know that we have a lot more going on here in Cool Tools than just this podcast. We have our flagship website where we review a new tool every day. That's at cool-tools.org. We also have 4 different newsletters. We have this podcast. We have a YouTube channel where we review tools. And if you like what you hear and see and read, the best way to help us out is by going to our Patreon page at patreon.com/cooltools and donate at any level you wish. You can even contribute $1 a month, and that would mean a lot to us. The money that you give us will go towards paying for our transcribing costs, editing videos and editing the podcast. It goes towards paying contributors who write the reviews for us. It goes towards our equipment costs, our hosting costs, and it supports our very small company of three people. This week, I wanted to give a shout out to some of our Patreon supporters who have been giving us at least $2 a month. And if you give us $2 a month, we'll give you a shout out online. And this week, I would like to thank Michael Sacochia, Molly Starr, M. Velderman, Opposable Thumbs, Pamela Cooley, Patrick Weyer, Paul Hosey, Randy Fisher, Stuart Burroughs Brand, Synaptic Sam, Therese Schwartz, Tom Hawkins, Tom Markham, What Bear, Javier Pangolin, David Lang, Eric Byers, Sean Hartley, Stephen Powell, Greg Lichtscheidt, John Hobson, Adam Bristol, Adam Naher, Anonymous, Bill Kempthorne, Bruce I. Niles, Chris Woodruff, C. Kolos, Daryl Flynn, Egg Fleegoff, Eric Hanschrau, Eric Hoover, Godfrey Saldana, Jay Skiles, John M. Larson, Jude Galligan, Kenneth Gilman, and Lucas Frank. Thank you very much for supporting the show, and we will see you next week.